This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Coach Jen, also in Ocala, Florida. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 6th, 2014, episode 820, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Horses in the Morning. I got to tell you that we understand that a lot of you are freezing your tutus off this morning, and we're hoping to hear from some of you as the morning goes on. We'd like you to give us a call in this first half hour if you are in the frigid north and would like to share your weather. What horse person doesn't like to talk about weather? So it's 347-637-3238. If you would like to call in and chat with us for a little bit this morning about the weather and what you have right now. The listeners on Facebook have been chiming in. We'll go over some of those here very shortly. For those that are out of the country listening to this, it is definitely a very frigid front moving across the country. And, you know, for most of the eastern part of the country, it's going to be setting records and that kind of thing. So we'll be going over all of that this morning here, as well as a bunch of other stuff that Jennifer is going to tell us about. But before we do that, I just wanted to mention that that Jamie is out this morning. She is sick, so she should be back here on Wednesday morning. She really tried to make it this morning, but that cold that she had started got the best of her. And you know, if she can't sing on a show, she just doesn't want to be on it. So she said her singing voice was shot.
She needs to save her voice for her Grammy Award. Yeah.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Tell her to hold her breath for that.
Yeah.
Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Edition, we are opening with a wee chuckle. Compliments of Horse Nation's Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility North America. And it is Farm Show Week in Pennsylvania, you can tell because of the blizzard. So we will be having a little bit of fun with some fun facts and figures and stories from the largest indoor agricultural expo in the United States. And next up, we're heading across the pond to learn about BETA, the British Equestrian Trade Association, which is way, way cooler than the name implies. And rounding out our Monday, Dr. Gordon Chang is here to enlighten us about combating stress in our horses and how we can help them be healthier by doing that. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Very good. So, Jennifer, I see we have callers already coming in. We're a little shorthanded, obviously, without Jamie here today, but we'll do the best that we can. And we have a lot of guests lined up, so it should be a lot of fun. Well, while Jennifer starts to get callers lined up, if you want to call us and chat about the weather in your area, it's 347-637-3238. But I'll do my daily whinny a while. Well, my daily whinny goes out to Janet Ortega, who is a listener of ours, and she wrote, posted on our website at horsesinthemorning.com. She said, I'm a fairly new listener of just 2 months. I have the HRN icon on my Galaxy S4, and I love it, but what she's talking about is the app. And with sometimes the stream just stops, and I can't listen to the rest of the broadcast. Is it my phone or your show? I just saw your player on your website, so I'm listening to that. By the way, I love the interview with Jim Wilson, and apparently everybody did. We're going to try and replay that for you again sometime this week. To answer your question, Janet, if it there's two ways to listen on the app. You can stream it, which you were trying to do, and sometimes if you don't have a terrific internet connection, then you'll have problems with the streaming. You won't be able to stream it properly, so it'll cut out and that kind of thing. That's what was happening to you. If you find that happening, then the best thing to do is use the download button that's there beside each episode. Download it to your phone. It'll download then when it has a good connection. It'll download. The downloads usually work better than the streaming. And then you can listen to it anytime you want, and it won't buffer. You won't have that playing problem that you're having on your app.
Glenn?
Yep.
Remind our non-computer savvy listeners what the download and stream buttons mean and what they look like.
Well, I don't remember what they look like. And I don't have my phone right here. So there's only two buttons. There's only two buttons. You'll figure it out. But the download button is a way to download that episode to your phone. It physically downloads the sound file to your phone, so that you can listen to it anytime. You don't have to have a good phone connection of any sort. You can just listen to it at any time. You don't even have to be connected to your phone system to listen to it. You can be in airplane mode and listen to it. Streaming actually streams the show from our website to your phone, and that counts on you having a good phone connection. So if you were in airplane mode, you couldn't listen that way. It counts on you having a good phone connection, and it will buffer. It will stop at times if you don't have a good phone connection, if you're driving or you're in and out of areas, that kind of thing. Then most people I recommend to go ahead and to do the download as opposed to the streaming. So that's just explaining that. I hope that helps a little bit. And thank you so much to Janet for listening to the show. We really appreciate that. And we hope that you keep on listening. And, yes, we will. Jim Wilson, of course, is the producer of the movie 50-1. And we will try and get him, or we'll try and replay that interview sometime this week for those of you that missed it. If you want to listen to it, you can go back and listen to last Thursday's show. It's probably right now one of the most popular shows we've done this year.
Well, let's hope that the movie is the most popular movie this year.
Hope it's good. I mean, that's the other thing. Let's hope it's good. I see we have our first caller on the line. Uta from Ohio is checking in. Are you freezing up there, Uta?
Well, it's going to get worse before, the end of the day. Right now we're in the 20s, but the wind is howling like crazy with wind chills far closer to zero.
Are you over toward the eastern side of Ohio, toward the Great Lakes? Where are you at?
We're just south of Cleveland.
Just south of Cleveland. Well, judging by Tony in Illinois, who is at minus 13 with a wind chill of minus 41, it's coming your way very quickly.
Well, we're supposed to drop throughout the day all the way into the possibly single digits, maybe even below zero. And then tomorrow we're going to wake up to minus like 2 or 3 degrees with wind chills in the minus 40s.
So are you doing anything different for the horses?
Well, this is actually the second year that I started to blanket, being that both of my horses are a little up there in age. And this morning I had to pull a quick switcheroo because yesterday around 6 o'clock it started to rain. It was in the mid-30s, and it was, considering what it had been, it was almost warm out. So my quarter horse decided to stay out in the rain, and this morning, of course, his blanket was completely covered with ice. He was perfectly dry underneath, but the blanket stood all by itself. I felt better switching that blanket out than leaving it on him.
Well, I got to tell you, Dawn just chimed in from Cincinnati, so she's already at minus 5, and the wind chill is minus 27. So it is definitely not too far from you. It's heading your way, and I did hear that the winds are really bad.
Yeah, they're pretty strong, and everywhere on the news they're trying to teach you how to dress outside like we don't already know. We're living in the north, for crying out loud.
Now, you were in Germany before, right? Weren't you in Germany for a long time?
Yeah, I grew up in Germany.
Now, tell me, in Germany, did you have the extreme weather like this where you lived in Germany?
You know, not really. It felt much more temperate than it does here. I mean, I've seen more snow here than I've ever seen there. Of course, it's not as beautiful being in a big city, but I've had enough. It can go away now.
That's why we moved to Florida.
Well, yeah, exactly. You can go to the beach, and we're here bundled up, and all that's showing is our eyelids.
Well, I tell you, it is. Even Florida is supposed to get chilly tonight. Nothing like you guys. But when it goes below freezing here in Florida, everybody panics, and you know they all get very upset. And you know, part of that is for a good reason. Like, we're supposed to get down to 25 tonight, and part of that is because all of our systems, our water systems, our pumps, our water tanks, and everything are outside. They're just outside in the yard.
They're above ground.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're above ground. So when it goes below freezing, you know, pipes do freeze down here. And the pipes are only buried about 6 inches to a foot in the ground here. So you know, they do worry about that down here, but it's nothing. I mean, after you've lived in the north, it's like, you know.
Yeah. We're gonna put a turnout blanket on our water tank today. That's gonna keep it warm.
Yes.
We're a turnout blanket.
There
I said, is there anything we could put over our water tank? She said, yeah, turnout blanket. I said, perfect.
Well, our water comes actually from a cistern for the horses, and there was one year where it was so cold that the water in the cistern froze, so we had to drop a de-icer down into it to bring the water up. But that's one of the things I'm really always keeping an eye out on, that the horses drink plenty of the water, and I keep an eye, you know, on how much the water goes down. And it was so great to hear on Friday from Dale about the more temperate water increases the horse's appetite. So I really enjoyed that segment that he shared there.
Yeah, I mean, he is going to – I can't even imagine. He's there in South Dakota. I can't even imagine what he's going through this morning with his horses at the ranch there. That has to be something else. Well,
lots of hay. Lots of hay.
That's right. Uta, thank you so much for calling in. You stay safe up there in Ohio, and same with your horses as well.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Uta. Well, that was Uta from Ohio. We have other people checking in on our Facebook page. Ellen, see, the thing is, in New England right now, it's pretty warm. They had 2 feet of snow. She was in Northeast Mass. She said 2 feet of snow and negative temps on Friday. It's 49 above today, but they're going to be dipping into the low teens, and it's just been a roller coaster in New England. Lisa from Michigan posted a couple pictures on our Facebook page. They have 14 inches of snow and wind chills of minus 35 today and tomorrow. And she posted some really beautiful snow pictures, and one of her husband, Scott, out there in the tractor with the snow over his wheels. So it is pretty deep there in Michigan. And then we've had other people checking in as well. So you can see all of that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. And I see we have another caller here, Jennifer, and this is somebody that nobody's going to want to hear from.
This is going to be
Am
awesome.
Am I right?
Yes.
Dr.
Right,
Wendy Ying, host of the Driving Radio Show in Sarasota, Florida. You're just calling to rub it in, aren't you?
No, I missed it. We haven't recorded in so long, I missed being with you, Glenn.
And the temperature is 80 degrees in Sarasota. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah, the temperature. I didn't know you were talking about temperature, but if you are, that's awesome because everybody should be down here in sunny Sarasota. It was 70 this morning when I got up.
We were actually in Orlando yesterday, and it was warm. It was about 80 degrees in Orlando yesterday. So, you know what? Nobody up north wants to hear about that. As Tony, I don't know if you noticed what Tony posted from Illinois with minus 13, and it feels like minus 41. His high today is going to be minus 12.
Oh, my God. Well, also, I just saw that he lost power.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
he was going to try and give us a call this morning, but maybe he can't.
That's the thing. Who's going to call? Everybody's lost their power.
That's right. Their cell phones are dying.
Well, Wendy, we're recording a show this afternoon. We're recording the driving show. It's actually the first one. We've had some recorded ones. The first one we've done in a while. And we're going to be talking about the New York situation with the people from the Carriage Association up there in New York City. And I think everybody knows what we're probably talking about at this point, knows how you and I feel about it. So, but we're going to find out.
I think it's really important that we really support them. I mean, they're part of our horsey community, whether you drive or not. And they're just, getting dealt a bad hand by politics, basically.
You're breaking up really bad on this one, I'll let you go. Thank you for giving us a call, and we'll chat with you this afternoon on the driving radio show.
All right. Bye, Glenn. Bye, Jennifer.
All right, bye.
Bye, Jamie. Bye.
Well, that was Dr. Wendy Ying from the driving radio show. So sorry she had a bad connection there, but this week's driving radio show, which will come out tomorrow, we are going to be speaking to the people from the Carriage Association in New York about the situation and about how they're about to be put out of business by the mayor up there. And now I've noticed articles from several other cities saying that they're watching what happens in New York, and they may follow suit in putting the carriage businesses out of business up there. That was my biggest fear with that. Obviously, there'll be a couple hundred people without jobs, a couple hundred horses without jobs that we have to worry about as well. And we're going to speak to the Carriage Association about, if this does come to fruition, how we can help find those horses with the help of our listeners, help find those horses good homes. Because certainly if you want a well-broke driving or riding horse, any of those horses out of New York City are going to be it. And they're going to need homes at some point too. Some of them, they'll be kept by the drivers if they can, and some of them have farms outside the city and that kind of thing. But I'm sure there'll be others that are definitely going to be looking for homes, and finding homes for well-broke horses never seems to be too much of a problem. All right, very good. Well, we have our first guest on the line today. And by the way, you can still give us a call if you want to check in about your weather, 347-637-3238. But right now we have Leslie Wiley with the Wacky World of Horses, brought to you by High Visibility North America. When it snows out, and this used to be one of Jennifer and I's favorite things when we'd ride up north and in Pennsylvania when we lived there. We loved to ride in the snow or drive in the snow. But if we rode near the roads, you definitely have to wear something that's high visibility when it's snow on the ground, because that snow just kind of blinds people, and for some reason they just miss you. They just don't see you. So it's even more important when there's snow on the ground to make sure you're wearing something from High Visibility North America. They're the number one high visibility sportswear range for equestrian horses and canines, already the preferred choice in the UK, but they're also becoming the preferred choice now here in the United States. They've only been here a couple of months, but they're selling like crazy. The entire range is not only functional, that will help keep you safe whether you're in the woods or riding on the roads or out in the trail, but it's fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage riders to Western riders will love it. It's fitted clothing, and you don't have to worry about it looking like it's construction worker orange. And they come in pink and yellow and orange, a bunch of different colors, and they have everything from winter jackets, which you're going to need, to lightweight vests suitable for year-round. And you can put those lightweight vests over your winter jackets as well. So you can find them all at highvisibilitysportswear.com is the website. Good morning, Leslie in Tennessee from Horse Nation. How are you?
Good morning. A little chilly.
What's it like there? Tell us what it's like in Tennessee, which should be about, 50 to 60 degrees today.
Well, it's 20 degrees right now, and that's our high for the day. I think that the temperatures are just going down from here. So that's not as bad as I know. I told Jennifer, I know better than to complain, because I know there's a lot of people that have a lot worse, but that's still cold for a little Southern girl.
That's right. That's right. It is cold for a Southern girl. You know, when it gets down, I saw some of our Florida friends complaining it was going to get down into the 20s tonight. And it's like, and once you've lived through the negatives, the 20s aren't that bad. But, we can live for a day or two. The thing is, in 3 days, we'll be back up to 60 and they'll still be cold.
That's right.
That's the difference.
Well, I'll tell you what, I saw this thing coming, and I'll tell you how.
Okay.
So do you know about the woolly worms? Are you familiar with woolly worms?
Yeah, the woolly bear caterpillars.
woolly bear caterpillars. Yeah, the little furry, furry caterpillars.
You know, they always said they have something to do with weather, but I could never figure out whether they were supposed to have stripes or not have stripes or what the story was. So.
Well, I'll string you out. I live in East Tennessee, so we're right on. I think that woolly worm mythology kind of came out of that Appalachian folklore, and in fact, in Banner Elk, North Carolina, they have a woolly worm festival every fall, every October, and they have woolly worm races. And the winner of, I mean, they have hundreds of woolly worms.
Okay,
everybody's
stop
got
right
their
there.
Woolly worm.
Stop what? Right there, Leslie. No alcohol involved. No moonshine involved in the woolly worm.
Definitely. I'm sure there's no moonshine involved. So they race all of these woolly worms, and the winner, the victor of after all of these heats of woolly worm races, gets held up as the official predictor of the weather for the winter. So the woolly worm has 13 body segments, and they eat sort of when they're eating in the fall, they eat selectively, like choosing things that this is what they say that will be to create like an antifreeze in their body so that they can hibernate for the winter or whatever, crawl under a rock and not die. And what they eat is supposed to be based on how cold the weather is going to be, and it changes the color of their body. Like they're brown and black. They have like brown stripes and black stripes.
Right.
And the more black there is, the snowier the winter is supposed to be. The more brown there is, the more mild. So the winner of the 2013 woolly worm race in Banner Elk was completely brown. It was the first time this has ever happened that an entirely brown woolly worm won the race. And so everyone thinks, oh, we're going to have this incredibly mild winter, right? That woolly worm was a dud. And I'll tell you why. Look outside your window.
Yeah, exactly.
But I found a woolly worm a couple weeks ago, and up until that point, you know, it's been like a pretty mild winter so far. But I found it. It was in the middle of the barn owl, and it had lots of black. Like it was like half black, and I thought, oh, it's coming. Like things are about to get real. This according to this woolly worm. So I've been waiting for it. I believe in that stuff. I think there's something to it.
Well, you know, maybe if the woolly worms drank the moonshine, they'd be more accurate. By the way,
yeah. You
can get good and drunk by the time those woolly worms are done racing. I sure hope it's not like the 100-yard dash because...
Oh, no, I think it takes them all day, you know, to get from the start of the thing to the finish. And then they have, a championship race. Yeah, this thing is a big deal. It's an event, I'm sure. And I'm sure that there's moonshine involved.
Hey, Leslie, can we talk to a listener? We have a listener calling in. Let's
sure.
chat with Kat. Is this Kat from Eat Your Tart Out?
It sure is. How are you this morning?
Good. Now, you're in Missouri or Montana, or where the heck are you now?
I know. Poor Jen was like, you're in Oregon. And I was like, no, I'm in Missouri. I'm like in the middle of the country.
Well, now, so tell us what your weather's like in Missouri right now.
Well, right now, I think we had a low of like negative 15. Wind chills are like ridiculously more than that. But right now, I think it's about negative 9 outside.
You're warmed up.
I know. It's really nice. I'm still not going outside. It's one of the benefits of working from home that I don't have to leave the house. So, except for to take care of the horses, which is the one thing I've had to, you know, kind of run outside and do. But poor Greg this morning, it took him an hour to realize his trucks weren't going to start. So he's like trailblazing in my Prius this morning, which makes me laugh because it's cold, it's snowy, and yet he's out driving a Prius. So God bless him for being able to do that.
And, you know, I'm glad your Prius started and everything, but there's nothing more embarrassing from a manly man driving a Prius to work. You know he's going to be picked on forever about that.
Well, he used to drive it, and then he's like, I just can't deal with it anymore. I got to get trucks. And I'm like, and then this morning when he really needed to have a truck, two of them, both of them, didn't work this morning. I'm like, yeah, way to go. All right.
Now, Kat, what about the horses? Are they faring okay?
Yeah, they're faring fine. I'm having a really hard – so we have a six-stall barn. It's gorgeous and everything. But our horses, for whatever reason, this is the first time I've ever had to deal with this, they have bare feet, and yet they're getting the huge – and I mean the huge, huge, huge shoesicles, whatever you want. Yeah, the big balls. And so I feel horrible because they're already pretty arthritic. They have a hard time getting around, and so they refuse to come inside. You know, so I have to keep going out there, and usually it means trudging through the field, which sucks, but I just want to make sure that they're okay. And thus far, they've been fine. They're just hibernating behind one of the hay bales that's up against our wood line. You know, and otherwise, I'm just bringing out some more mashes periodically, just their feed and some alfalfa hay cubes just really heated up. So by the time I get out there, they're lukewarm.
I think actually what they're doing is they're standing by those hay bales going, Kat just moved from Massachusetts to here. She could have moved to Florida. We hate her guts. That's what
pretty
they're
much.
Saying.
Yeah.
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 By the way, congratulations again on the wedding.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I heard you guys talking about me all on Sable Scoop, so I haven't had a chance really to respond. But I wanted to say thank you guys for all the warm wishes and everything.
Well, good. Yeah, well, we're happy for you. You know, get married in the middle of winter. Smart move there, Kat.
Yeah.
But
I know.
You
well, it's
beautiful.
Like this whole Missouri thing's supposed to be warmer and everything, and then everybody gets here and there's more snow than what was on the East Coast. I'm like, well, go figure. But it went beautifully. We had a great time. Everybody got in and out safely. So, you know, it went as best as it could.
Well, congratulations again, and thank you for giving us a call this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, guys.
That's Kat. She's from Eat Your Tart Out, the blog all about food that I follow on Facebook. Just search for Eat Your Tart Out. Well, sorry about that, Leslie. Back to you. You know
Kat. That's okay. I don't.
She has a terrific blog. You have to follow it. It's Eat Your Tart Out, and she's always posting cool stuff on there. She's a horse girl, and she has a passion for food, so she started this blog about food. And she does a really good job. She's an excellent writer, so she does a really good – it's kind of like – it's kind of the Horse Nation for, you know, equestrian food blogs. Yeah, so you'll have to check it out. It's a lot of fun.
I will. I do like food.
Don't we all? Now, you were not only were you talking about caterpillars, but you're also talking about you were talking astrology again, which has now become a new thing for you on the blog.
That's right. I love like reading my horoscope, even knowing that it's a bunch of bunk. You know, I love fortune cookies. I love, you know, anything. I like magic eight balls. Anything that purports to tell me what's going to happen in the future, like I'm a big fan of it, even if I know that it's not exactly true.
Well, can you tell us what's going to happen with us, with Jennifer and I? We both are Tauruses.
Okay, I'll tell you guys.
Okay.
here's your so this is according to one of our bloggers, Carrot Top. Who's an Australian gal that blogs for us. She says, do you know the expression, dance like no one is watching? Well, don't be fooled. Everyone is watching. Uh-oh.
You know, in our job, that's true. So.
Oh, that's funny. And also, we ran a story a while back that was just a big hit. And so, you know, 2014 is the year of the horse. So every year, according to the Chinese zodiac, is assigned to a different animal. And they come in cycles. There's the rat, the ox, the tiger, the rabbit, the dragon.
I'm an ox.
You're an ox.
I'm an ox.
Interesting. Okay, well, we had a story a while back that talked about the personalities of horses born in the years of the different animals. And then we had she put together a chart to see if whether you being an ox would be compatible, what signs you would be best compatible with, if that makes sense. Like,
yep.
Like, do you know what year your horse was born in?
Oh, Jennifer, do you know what year the pony was born?
2007, I think. I think it was
2007. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yep, that sounds about right.
Look that up.
Yeah.
2007. So your horse is a pig.
My horse is a pig?
He's
like crazy. He won't stop eating.
You're in the pig. So I'm looking on this chart, and you being an ox and your horse being a pig, the match says needs effort, that your partnership will need effort.
I believe that.
That's pretty funny.
And unfortunately, does it say whether the horse is supposed to give the effort or the human, or is it both?
I think it's probably both. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You guys got to meet in the middle. Wow.
Now I'm gonna look this up
for everyone that I know. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I love this chart. It's actually, if you go to horsenation.com and you go for the one titled "Are You and Your Horse Compatible?" It is a really good chart. Now, were you and your horse compatible?
That's what I was just thinking. So I'm a. This might take me a second. What am I? 81. I'm a rooster, and my horse.
Is better than a chicken, I guess.
Are you a rooster?
I'm a rooster. My horse is a rabbit. So, let's see. In the rabbit. Mini conflict. Oh, no. Actually, I'd say that's pretty accurate. We have some, we don't always see eye to eye. We work it out, but yeah.
I love this when I'm looking at the chart. I wanted to see which ones are actually well-suited to each other. The rat and the rat are well-suited to each other, which I thought was interesting. I'm looking for other well-suited, and there's not a lot of them, actually, that are well-suited to each other. The rat and the rat seem to be the sheep
and the horse, superb match. Monkey and dragon,
the horses
good
and sheep
pair.
Go out together. Yeah, I can see that.
Pig and pig, intense and passionate.
Okay, so Uta is asking, one of our listeners is asking, she'd love to know about her horse, 1989, and she is 1964. So 1989 for her horse and 1964 for her.
Okay, 89 is the snake, and 64, let's see, is a dragon.
The snake and the dragon can be good. It says can be good. Yay! Good for you, Uta. You can be good, which is the positive way of saying it could suck, too.
At least you have a chance. That's good.
That's right. We're going to go with the positive. It can be good. You're going to have a good time. Hey, you know, I was very happy to see, actually, for the oxes this year, we have a very good outlook for the year. It's going to be very prosperous. So I was very happy to see that.
Yeah.
So I was excited. But so let's hope that comes true. I like that idea. Well, this has been, you always post the most interesting stuff over at horsenation.com. I don't know where you find all this stuff, but you do. And people can go to horsenation.com and take a look at it. There was one I liked on there too. One of your most recent posts called 13 Things You Should Expect When Working with Horses. that's one of the ones I liked.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Good job, Leslie.
Well, thanks for having us on and stay warm.
All right. Thank you, Leslie. And Leslie's normally here at 10 o'clock. We had to switch her time today because of one of our other guests. We appreciate you doing that, Leslie. And you stay warm up there in Tennessee as well.
We will.
Take care.
Take care.
And, of course, this segment was brought to you by High Visibility North America. You can find all of their terrific high visibility products in a multitude of colors at highvisibilitysportswear.com. That's highvisibilitysportswear.com. Well, we're kind of waiting for our next guest, who should be calling us from England, which I think is why they're probably having a little bit of trouble. We do have trouble with that sometimes. I wanted to tell you that now, right now going on, starting on Saturday, is one of the things that Jennifer and I used to look forward to every year when we lived in Pennsylvania, and that was the Pennsylvania Farm Show. Pennsylvania Farm Show is the largest indoor agricultural exposition in the country. They have 6,000 animals, 10,000 competitive exhibits, and that includes chickens and ducks and every other thing you could imagine, from corn to pies to just...
She talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She said, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl someday. What is it? What is it with girls?
Well, I am back here. This is Glenn the Geek back with you on Horses in the Morning. Sorry about the little problem we had there. I apparently got cut off. And we are here on Horses in the Morning. Jamie is out sick today, so Jennifer and I are covering it and trying to handle the getting the interview set up and everything like that. Jennifer is trying to get set up with our call from England next with our next guest. but I think she's having a little bit of trouble. So we'll wait till she gets back with that. I wanted to mention a couple. We have a couple of news stories. We had a tragic accident, actually, at Belmont Park, something that just goes to show you that horses will do the strangest things to hurt themselves. But we had a rider that actually, this was during a workout session in the morning, a rider riding a horse by the name of Six Drivers got dumped off his horse. The horse dumped him, and the horse took off the opposite direction of all the other horses on the track and ran into a horse by the name of Calixa Electricana, who was a stakes winner, actually. And both of the horses passed away, one with a broken neck and the other with a skull fracture. Just one of those bizarre accidents that sometimes happens when you put a lot of horses together. And it was one of Mike Rapoli's horses, the Calixa horse. So, you know, and trained by Todd Pletcher, and as Rapoli said, it's a terrible day for racing, and one of the jockeys went to the hospital as well. So we wish all the connections for those horses, and also for the jockeys, we wish them the best and hope that that all works out for them. And one of the other things going on right now is Andrew Nicholson is a finalist for New Zealand Sportsman of the Year down there in New Zealand. He has been named as a finalist among 25 other finalists in six categories in 2013. He's going up against a world cycling champ. He's going up against a rugby player and also an IndyCar champion. So he's got some serious competition. His nomination comes after a year of major successes, including wins in four-star at the Kentucky four-star in Lexington and Le Moulin in Poe and in Burley. He's currently ranked as the number one world event rider. And the voting academy down there in New Zealand consists of 30 former athletes, coaches, and media representatives that select the finalists from 58 different nominations. So that should be announced very shortly, and we will see if Andrew Nicholson can take Sportsman of the Year in New Zealand coming up here shortly.
Woo-hoo!
All right. So Jennifer, you said you have your guests ready.
We've done it. We've gone all the way across the ocean and nabbed the tag team of Claire and Claire from the British Equestrian Trade Association, and they agreed to stop by with us a little bit today to explain exactly what BETA is, why they exist, and what they do. From the American point of view, the closest thing we've got is the AETA, A-E-T-A, which is something we talk about here on the show a lot because we go there each year and broadcast live from the AETA show, which is where all of the tack shop owners and tack shop distributors get together and figure out what they can have that's cool for their store each year. But BETA is a little bit more encompassing than AETA is, so they're going to be here and tell us all about it. And I'm sure there will be some fun shopping tips as well. So welcome to the show, Claire and Claire.
Thank you very much, Jen. We've had a slight technical hitch, so we've had to go back to no headsets, so we might be a bit tinny.
So we're going to do the best we can. It's been a technical glitch kind of a day. We're going to blame it on the weather because it's easy.
Fair enough. It's just like that here.
And we're having more technical issues because my partner in crime here, Glenn the Geek, is off the air again.
I'm back.
To press a button.
I think I'm back.
But we're here.
I think I'm back.
But we're here. So, oh, Glenn's back. Okay, now start
I'm
talking,
back.
Glenn.
All right. Claire and Claire, we have never been to BETA. We were in the retail business before we were in the radio business and always wanted to go to BETA. Tell us how does it compare to the one we have over here, the American English Equestrian Trade Association show over here?
Hello, Claire Thomas here. Good morning to you. I believe that the show that we have here is very different. It's larger. It is the main equestrian and country trade event in the world. We have upwards of 250 exhibitors. We're taking anything from 6 square meter stands to 200 square meters. Have a live fashion show, live horses, feature areas where we bring in the likes of the War Horse team that you may have heard of at the National Theatre.
Yeah.
And I think as far as the show is concerned, we do aim to bring in over 4,500 audited visitors specifically for the exhibitor to market to. This in 2013, we had over 4,000 visitors from the UK, nearly 400 buyers from around the world. The indications for 2014, for next month, are that that is likely to be a slightly different ratio, in as much as we have the same amount of registrations for the UK, but we have far more registrations for the rest of the world. So as far as the show's concerned, we hope that it will be successful and that the indications are correct. As far as your show is concerned, AETA, a very strong, very, very good show, well, very good shows, and we feel as far as the US market is concerned, we learn a great deal from yourselves because you have two sides of the country. It works well, so I think room for everybody.
Yeah, and you know, it's always been on my bucket list to go to Beta over there. What do you guys also seem to lead the trends when you have your show? The trends in clothing and attack and in new things tend to start over there and then make their in Europe and make their way to the United States maybe a year later. Do you find that to be true?
Maybe. I think the difference is we have the UK and the Western markets. Now, obviously, where the Western market's concerned, you lead. We are way behind you. We wouldn't profess to be anything other. Where the UK market's concerned, yes, the trends do tend to follow through. And I believe that this is why it's important for you, the US retailers, to come over.
If I could add, Glenn, as well, this is the other Claire speaking. Beta probably has a reputation as being the place to find really new and innovative products. Beta tends to have more smaller exhibitors, and a lot of people use Beta International to launch new products, which is why probably we do tend to quite often lead in product development and in new products coming onto the market. When you speak to a lot of manufacturers, they will be gearing up to launch products at Beta International.
Right. Right, which is always what we have heard. That's definitely what we've heard. Now, is it? Do you do fun things as well? I know that sometimes at Ada they do some fun things, and that's part of the fun of going to these kind of shows is the dinners and those things you get to do as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been to Ada several times. Beta is the trade association. One of its main roles is to encourage export from its members. So probably up to about 2 years ago, we used to regularly bring over groups of exhibitors to Ada in January. So I know exactly what you do, and it is great fun. We do similar. We have a gala dinner that the Trade Association organises. And just so you know, the Trade Fair is owned by the Trade Association, and the Trade Fair is probably one of our most biggest revenue earners that we put back into the trade. So Trade Fair is really important for us as an association. But the association itself organises a gala dinner and a
Were you losing them, Jennifer? Is that me, or are we losing them? Yeah.
We're losing them.
I just put them on mute, so maybe you can check in and see if the connection is back. While you're doing that, you know, Ada is coming up. We're going to be going to the American Equestrian Trade Association here, the 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th. We'll be doing our show live from there on Monday the 27th, like we do twice a year. So Jennifer and I, and I think Helena's coming down from Rhode Island, we'll be doing the live show with all kinds of different exhibitors who have new products coming to the market. And it's always a fun show, and it's always fun to do live. Something crazy always happens, like we get blown up with air vests, or, you know, something crazy always happens there. So we look forward to that every year, every 6 months that we get to go. I wish that they were having it someplace warmer than Philadelphia in January, but it's our chance to go experience the cold for one day.
What
are they
thinking?
Weekend.
Oh,
I know.
There's so many better choices.
It's not terrible. We can do it.
Yes, it is terrible. Now, we've got about Claire and Claire back. So my question for Claire and Claire, because we have not yet had the opportunity to go to beta yet, here in the United States, the vast majority of tax shops are privately held, what we call here affectionately, mom-and-pop operations. They're family-owned businesses that were started by horse enthusiasts, usually in their garage, so that they would have it a way to get good access to tack. Is it similar in the UK in that the majority of tack shops are smaller family-owned operations?
Jen, it's very similar. In number terms, there probably are primarily small tack shops, as you describe, mom-and-pop stores. But increasingly over the last 10 years and turnover, we've seen a huge growth in single store, very professional outlets, complemented by what we call farming cooperatives that are multi-chain. They sell a range of agricultural products, but increasingly they've identified equestrian as a real growth market. So we've got three big what we call farming co-ops with probably each between 20 and 40 outlets, offering equestrian alongside mainstream agricultural products. And then we've also increasingly seen outdoor stores and pet stores move into equestrian as well. Added to that, some of the really big supermarkets decided it would be a really good idea to add equestrian into their range. So
really?
Supermarkets?
Yeah.
What are they carrying?
You may have heard of a group of stores called Tesco, which is the biggest supermarket retailer. Well, they have a small range of equestrian products. And when they launched, believe me, it caused a few waves in the industry, positive and negative. But they've backed off a bit. They passed back, but it turned out they were selling sort of basic items, the sort of thing you might want to buy when you're starting out and riding. But as soon as you get more serious and want to spend more money, it really didn't offer you what you needed.
I bet you they have a big carrot and apple section, though.
No, yeah, that's true. In theoretical terms, actually, yes, because what we also saw was, I don't think it's the same in the States, but in the UK, wrongly we feel, riding has a bit of a reputation for being an upper class activity. It's not. I ride, Claire rides, and we're definitely not upper class. But Tesco, by putting equestrian into their supermarket shelves, immediately sent out the message that riding isn't that exclusive and you can afford to do it.
Mm. Interesting.
Very interesting, yeah, because I think in some parts of the United States, not everywhere, particularly probably in the Northeast and in the coastal West, like in California, that might have that perception that equestrian sports are elitist, but probably less so here just because of the whole cowboy culture. Now, English riding is perceived as being elitist, and it isn't necessarily, just like you. One of the other questions I had about Beta International, which is your trade show, versus the American version here in the United States, one of the topics that comes up every single year is whether or not the general public should be permitted to attend, because currently the rules are only retailers and vendors attend. In other words, you either have to be a tack shop or someone who sells stuff to a tack shop. You can't just walk in there as a horse lover and look at the cool stuff and buy things. And every year we talk about whether or not that should change. Is it the same way at the Beta International show, in that you have to be within the trade to attend?
Yeah, and both Claire and I are sitting here with big grins on our faces because we have exactly the same debates here. Ours is a trade-only show. We go to great extent to ensure it is, because Claire will tell you she gets loads of applications to attend from non-trade. But that's
people trying to sneak in,
and,
huh?
Yeah, they do. And one of the reasons is, you know, retailers don't like to see their customers wandering around the floor of the show.
Right.
And I
get that, and I really think there should be. You know, every industry does this. We're not the only industry that has exclusive shows for wholesalers and retailers. The electronics industry, every industry does it. And you know, it's for a reason. It's so that they can have time to spend quiet time to spend, you know, with their people who provide them the products. So there is a good reason for it. And, you know, I wouldn't like to see it go that way. That's why we're there. We provide coverage so that the listeners out there and horse people out there can know what's going on at the show. You know, that's what media is for. And apparently you guys agree with that. I mean, I just totally agree with not opening it up.
Yeah, and it's a debate we revisit, you know, every year or so. And there are lots of permutations. A suggestion has been we open it up for one day. But as you quite rightly say, the trade needs a show where they can openly talk about ranges and new launches and prices without that worry that the end consumer might be there to upset the balance. And it works well as it is. And in the UK, there's so many other shows for the consumer, hundreds of shows they can go to find out about new products.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, there are tons of shows here, too. I mean, there's expos all the time, all over the country. So, you know, it's not like there isn't anything to do. But I'm glad that you've held the line on that, and I'm glad that Ada has as well. Because you just need that time. And when we were a retailer, we needed that time to go in. You also negotiate contracts. You're talking prices. You're talking wholesale prices. It's a whole different ball game than a retail show. So,
yeah.
If I might add here as well, Claire Thomas speaking, there is the consideration also that, for example, we have a fashion show. Some of the products that the exhibitors display within the fashion show doesn't actually reach the end market. It's used as a barometer, and if the buyers are interested and if the range works, it will get to the consumer. Not everything does, and we find that also with our innovation awards. Most of the awards end up doing very well and making a lot of money for the producer and for the buyer, but some of them don't even get to the market. So that is another consideration.
That is true. And, you know, I've seen some of the fashion that happens at that show, and some of it I don't want to come to the market. So it's perfect.
Come on.
Claire, it's been so good. I'm glad we got the system worked out here that we could chat. The website is beta-int.com. beta-int.com. The show is coming up February the 16th through the 18th. It's in Birmingham in the UK. Anything you want to add to that?
No, just everybody's welcome. Please do come and take a look because there will be lots to see and lots to buy.
Very good. And then the retailers here from the United States can get a hold of you through the website, right?
They can, or if they wish to call, there is always somebody available to take the call and to advise.
And Glenn, it's also worth adding, any retailers who want to attend can go on to that website you've just given and book tickets for themselves, which are then emailed to them free of charge. So entry is free as long as you pre-register.
How about a couple of radio hosts? Can we come?
You'd be most welcome.
Okay.
It's about time you came.
It is.
Claire,
right.
Claire. Yeah, Jennifer's agreeing over there.
Yeah, we need to go.
I think so I have about 10 hosts that want to come, actually.
You obviously
thank you, Claire. Thanks to both of you. We appreciate you being on. Take care.
Thank you.
Oh, they're fun.
Yeah, you ready to go, Jennifer? You ready to go
Absolutely.
Over there in February?
Yeah. Throw a pair of socks into my bag. I'm ready.
I actually think that's one of the weekends we're getting the multitude of company we get every February that come down from the north who want to spend time with us.
I'll tell you what. You can stay here in balmy, warm Ocala, Florida, and hang out with my folks, and I'll go to Beta.
I was thinking
my
the other way.
My mom would forgive me that. She would totally forgive me that. Totally.
Well, I hate to do two songs in one day, but we're going to have to do that. So sorry about the earlier. We seem to have gotten our connection back, and everything is back to working again. We appreciate you hanging in there. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Coach Jen. We are here solo today because Jamie did call in sick this morning. She got really sick over the weekend and could not make it today. That's what happens when you have children. They just make you sick all the time. So she should be back, providing she is well, on Wednesday, because this Wednesday coming up will be our first Wheel of Trivia, EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia for 2014. Have some terrific prizes on the wheel, so you'll want to give us a call on Wednesday. I noticed we still have people posting, and we'll get to a couple of others that have posted about their weather and what is going on. And some of them said that they didn't call this morning because they don't have power. So that's always fun. Yeah, that's always fun when it's minus 12 degrees and you don't have power. That's just not any fun at all. We lived through that blizzard the one year with a week without power, and that wasn't much fun at all either. So we'll be right back. I thought you'd lighten things up a little bit this morning for all of you that are frigid. You know, we can't make you forget about the cold, but maybe we can give you a brief chuckle this morning. And this is Sam Gay, Templeton Thompson's husband, singing A Place for Everything.
Backyard, there are piles of junk and two rusted cars. They remind him of his younger days. It keeps his memories scattered all over the place. He's a pack rat of some great repute, a fact that no man can dispute. Mom just shakes her head and sighs and keeps her kitchen clean. There's a place for everything. So why can't he ever find anything? Still he's comforted just knowing that it's always there if he needs it. He's built sheds and barns to house his stuff. There are shelves and bins and hooks. Dust. His little empire fills him up with pride. The neighbors cringe, but he just smiles. There's a place for everything. So why can't he ever find anything? Still he's comforted just knowing that it's always there. Cause we share this trait with his old man. He's got higher piles of junk than mine, but I'm sure I'll catch up in time. There's a place for everything. So why can't we ever find anything? Still we're comforted just knowing that it's always there if you need it. He's got buckets full of rusted bolts and two drawers packed with old remotes from TVs that died long ago and ashes from an old wood stove. There's a workbench pile of wires and screws and things he's not sure what they do. He's got stacks of shingles and a perfect roof, and old electric motors too. There's a place for everything.
This is Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Coach Jen today. I wanted to, we're waiting for our Jennifer setting up our next guest here. Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha Equine is going to be here with his monthly nutritional segment on horse nutrition. And we should be getting to him very shortly. And as I said, I wanted to mention again that we will be back with the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia on Wednesday morning, so give us a call at 9.05 a.m. Eastern Time and get in line to play the Wheel of Trivia. We have lots of fun prizes. We haven't played it in a couple weeks, so everybody should be ready to win some cool stuff again. And we had a ton of winners the last time we played because basically we just gave everybody prizes. So this time you're going to actually have to work for it. One of the programming note, too, on some of the other shows, on Stable Scoop this week and the Dressage, on Stable Scoop and the Dressage Radio Show this week, we had a rematch of a trivia challenge that we did last year. It was Helena and I against Reese and Philip of the Dressage Radio Show. And Jennifer was the Alex Trebek of the show, asked us the tough questions. And we had a lot of fun. You're going to have to see what happened last year. Helena and I pulled it out on the last question. We were tied to the very last question, and Helena guessed the answer correctly, and we pulled it out. So you're going to have to see who wins between Stable Scoop and the Dressage Show. It'll be on both shows coming up on this week. So you can look forward to that. We'll see who won this week. Reese Koffler-Stanfield, the host of the Dressage Radio Show, is actually right now in South Africa. She's part of the Kentucky Agricultural Council, and they took a trip for 2 weeks over to South Africa, and she'll be doing all kinds of cool stuff. We'll try and get her on our show here at Horses in the Morning, too, to talk about her trip, because I think she's going to have some fun things to talk about. Well, Jennifer, are we ready for the next guest?
We are. Dr. Gordon Chang, president of Omega Alpha Equine, is here to enlighten us about health topics. And this time around, it's going to be recovery and performance. They go together hand in hand. If you don't have one, you can't have the other. Welcome to the show, Dr. Chang.
It's a pleasure to be here. Happy New Year to all of the listeners. And
Happy
to
New
everyone
Year, Dr.
at
Chang.
Horse Radio Network. How are you, Glenn?
Good. Is it chilly up there in Canada?
It's a wee bit chilly. I was just saying to Jennifer, that's why you guys moved to Florida.
Yes, exactly why we moved to Florida. We were getting calls from especially the people in Illinois and Indiana seem to be getting the worst of it right now. And they're at like minus 15 Fahrenheit with minus 40 Fahrenheit wind chills. I mean, that's just incredible.
We're expecting some of that up here, too. We just got dumped on yesterday and some rain to wash it down, actually, and then it's going to get real cold so that all that rain is going to turn to ice at some point. So we're in for a fun next few days.
Why did you move to Canada, or did you grow up there?
No, I grew up in Trinidad. It seemed like a good idea at the time, I think.
Was it summer when you moved?
It was early fall when I moved.
Left Trinidad for Canada?
Yeah, well, there aren't that many horses in Trinidad. Let's put it that way. How's that?
You could have picked like Southern Florida. You could have picked California. No,
that is true. As I get older, those places sound better and better as I grow older.
You know, snow is pretty. You know, we give you that. Snow is pretty for the first two or three storms, and then after that, it's not as pretty anymore.
As I say, I love snow as long as I don't have to shovel it. I have to do a lot of that.
All right, Jennifer, take it over.
You're done talking about the weather. See, Dr. Chang moved to Canada because Canada is nice. Right?
That's right. That's right.
There you go. We have lots of nice people here.
Don't have that attitude thing going. So, Doc, back to the topic at hand. How is it that recovery and performance are so related? And tell us about how that those two go together.
Well, I understand Jamie is not here, not in today, and the reason she's not in is because of illness, right?
Right.
And that's a nice segue into our performance and recovery topic because, you know, it's such a broad topic, to be fair. There's so many different things we can speak about. But when people normally think of performance they think of the quick fix. They think of something that's like a stimulant or something that gives the horse an extra edge. But I'll say this to a lot of people. If you can keep your horse healthy throughout competition, your performance is going to be superior to any other thing that you can possibly just give him a quick fix at, because a healthy horse will outperform a sick horse on any given day. A mediocre, healthy horse will outperform a sick, fantastic horse any day, right? Now, one of the things that most people overlook when they want to keep their horse healthy, they don't think of things like immune boosters, things that basically will boost the immune system, right? The thing about immune boosters, it's a tough sell. It's like prevention. How do you sell prevention to someone? Because when people take an immune booster and their horse were healthy for the whole season, first thing their mind is, well, you know, if I didn't take the immune booster or if I didn't give my horse the immune booster, he may have been healthy all season anyway. Right, but we do know that horses get ill. Sometimes they just feel down and out for whatever the reason. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's because they're feeling lackadaisical or what have you, right? Or maybe they've been pushed too hard. So boosting immune system helps in that way. Also, things like the B vitamins, right, to give your horse more energy, right? A regular supplement of B vitamin on a daily basis. And when I say it has to be in horse dose too. Make sure you get a large enough dose for your horse. And a lot of people say, well, I take pelleted feeds. And in my pelleted feeds, it has a balanced amount of B vitamins. Or I get enough B vitamins from my pelleted feeds. I will say this. When you make feeds, feeds are usually made for the general horse population or the general horse public, right? It is usually not made for a specific performance issue. For example, your rodeo horse, right, will need a little bit more B vitamins than maybe your dressage horse, right? Your dressage horse will need a lot more B vitamins than your backyard horse. Right, and another thing is sometimes if your horse is looking a little bit chubby, what you do, the first thing people do, they cut back on the amount of feed. Well, if you're feeding them a specific pelleted feed and you cut back on the amount of feed that you're giving, all of a sudden that means your vitamin intake also drops, your B vitamin intake also drops, right? Another thing, not every single horse needs the same amount of B vitamins. Right, so you have a bigger horse, will need more. So if you're giving him a pelleted feed and you have a bigger horse, you may need to supplement that pelleted feed. It's like, pelleted feeds to me is like a daily multivite that you give yourself. You know, it's okay, but it's not the best unless you're a show horse, right? Because, you know, the pellet feeds, you have a lot of different vitamins, but you know, you don't have the huge amounts that sometimes that you do need. That's why it's always good to supplement some of these vitamins from an outside source. Anyway, hello?
Hey, Dr. Chang, I have a question. Show horse gets pelleted feed or what do they call it? They have a name for it now, and the word has escaped me. Fortified feeds.
Yes.
Which have their daily vitamin in it. But even some performance horses, not much less pleasure horses, who also need support, if the bag of grain says your 1,000-pound horse should eat 12 pounds of grain per day, and your horse only requires 6.25 pounds per day to stay in good weight, he's not getting even the minimum bare requirement of that, quote, daily vitamin, because he's not eating as much grain. So even a horse that's a pleasure horse who doesn't eat all that grain or a performance horse still needs some supplementation, do they not?
That's correct. So that's where this is where you need to get some B vitamins and some of the minerals from an outside source, right? Not necessarily from the feed. Now, the nice thing is most of these vitamins, if, like, for example, when we talk of B vitamins, they're water-soluble. Because they're water-soluble, you won't have an overdose, meaning that let's for sake of argument say we gave the horse too much B vitamins, okay? Now, the safety margin on any vitamins are huge. So to give a horse too much, you got to really give a horse too much, meaning that basically you got to put his head down into a bucket of B vitamins and say, here, inhale everything, which nobody does, okay?
Nobody can afford to.
That's correct. But yeah. Let's say for whatever reason, the horse got his head into a bucket of a Minarec product, which has a lot of B vitamins and some minerals, etc. Okay, let's say he got his head into it, and for whatever reason, it inhaled a whole kilogram. Well, you know, the worst that can happen with him, a lot of B vitamins, some will get absorbed, some may not get absorbed just because of the huge quantity all at once. But secondly, a lot of that B vitamins, if it's not being utilized, would just go out in the urine, right? So you're not going to be giving him way too much. Now, that's a good thing, and that's also a bad thing, because it's a bad thing because if all of your B vitamins is going out in your urine, right, and it's not being utilized properly, it's not being stored. And what that means is that you have to keep on giving it to him on a daily basis. If, on the other hand, if the vitamins were stored, you wouldn't have to worry too much about missing a day or two or 3 days, right? So that's why B vitamins, and especially important, you should give them on a daily basis, especially if you during show season. If he's out and about and just hanging around in a paddock watching the world go by, you can miss a few days here and there, but it's not a big deal. But during performance season, it's important. Now, that is just a little talk about the performance end of it. I mean, you know, you have to keep your horse healthy, right? So we do things like, and especially now, we should talk a little bit about cleansing, right? A detox. So if you keep the liver healthy, you keep the kidneys healthy, I mean, those are some of the other things you do to keep your horse healthy, okay? Things like ulcers, again, you look after that, you keep your horse healthy. If you keep your horse digestive system happy, he eats well, he gets nutrients. Nutrients then help in the performance of the horse, right? So all these things have to work together. That is what I mean by a holistic. This is a more of a holistic approach to performance, as opposed to a one shot, for example, a shot of testosterone or less, you know what I mean? Things that people use to build up their horse or different things. I mean, there are lots of different supplements people will use for performance enhancement, right? And I think some people may want to know about some of those things. So things like gamma-arazinol has been shown to be helpful for building the muscles in the horse. Things like branched-chain amino acids are also important, right? Now, those are also what I call a recovery-type product. Right, recovery type products. You think about things like anti-inflammatory herbs. I'm not talking about the drugs. I'm not talking about the buttes and the banamines. Anti-inflammatories. You know, it's like after a good workout, you have aches and pains. Well, the thing like MSM, our anti-inflam product, our Sinuex product, takes away some of those aches and pains. And if you take away some of those aches and pains, you know, the horse will be recovering a lot better, a lot faster, right? The branched-chain amino acids are important because what they do, they help inhibit breakdown of muscle mass, of muscle tissue, right? And they help encourage building up of muscle mass and muscle tissue. But branched-chain amino acids, again, should be consumed by the horse within about 2 hours post-exercise or post showing that they've had. And the reason for that is that the studies have shown that window, that there's a two-hour window which maximizes the effects of these branched-chain amino acids. We can go on like this for a long time. Anyway, but I figured this is a smattering of some of the things that some people may want to look at in the near future. You know, there are things like D-ribose,
so
which will give you
more
energy.
Glenn actually had a question, but he disappeared
for
a second
have a question
there, Dr.
Here.
Chang. There
sure,
he is.
So now, to boil it down to specific products, if we were looking at performance and then recovery, which products for performance and which ones for recovery?
Okay. The whole idea of performance and recovery, it's a holistic thing. But if I had to sort of pinpoint a few things which I would say, okay, which are your ace in the holes, okay,
right.
I would do a immune boosting throughout the show season just because, in my mind, if your horse is healthy, he'll perform better, okay? And it's one of the most overlooked things. Make sure you supplement with a good vitamin mineral product. So that would be a look at our Minerac product, which is fantastic for that, right? If you're looking for a recovery product, I'd say our Equisalite, which has the branched chain amino acids. It also has the electrolytes in it, right, to replace some of that salt and potassium, calcium, etc., that's lost during the competition and the exercise, right? So those are the key. And then for the aches and pains, you have your Anti-Flam and your Sinuex, right, which will help them recover a lot faster, right? Those are just a few things. And then also, I always say, to keep the tummy happy, to keep the digestive tract happy, give it some of that biotic aid. That biotic aid is key for keeping that stomach happy and the intestinal tract.
Basically, Jamie's horses would not be living right now without biotic aid.
She's the poster child for biotic aid.
Yes.
So she
the
should be on
the
your
poster child, is it?
Yeah. We can have her picture or their horses.
Yeah, we may have to put a horse's picture on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. She needs to be on your website. When they go to the Biotic 8 page, it's her and her horses. That's what she should be. You've got to be known for something, right? I mean, you might as well be known for that.
There you go. So I would say to Jamie, she should get tell Jamie I'll send her some of our human immune booster products.
Yes,
it will help with her and her cold and her germ factory. You know.
Well, you know what I think the germ factory is in her house right now. It's the little baby is the germ factory.
Yeah,
seems like you know that when you have kids.
For sure, everything they get, you get. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
And the problem is I don't know if Jamie's baby is in daycare or not, but if the baby's in daycare, it's even bigger chance of picking up every germ.
Well, you know, the basic thing is their baby is not in daycare because Jamie's the daycare. He's not in daycare, so that's better, actually. But, you know, her husband is also a fighter pilot on a base with a ton of other people every day.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm sure some germs come home from there, you know. So I'm sure that happens, too.
Cat can no longer touch the baby. That's
going to be tough.
Dr. Chang, we're running out of time. It's omegaalphaequine.com. You can find all of the products he talked about. If this was too fast for you and you want to go back and reference it, you can just go to horsesinthemorning.com and listen back to the recorded version of this, and you can start and stop and then write it all down if you need to do that. So that's the best way to go back and just listen to it again. I know we do that sometimes when we want to find a link to something. So that's the easiest way to do that. Or go to our app at Horse Radio Network, and you can do the same thing there. Thank you, Dr. Chang. Are you going to Ada this year? Are we going to see you this year?
Probably not. I'm supposed to be in Florida when you guys are in Ada, unfortunately.
See, that's what's happening is he's going, heck with that. We were just talking about earlier in the day how Philadelphia is not south enough for Ada.
No, it's not. I'd love to be at Ada. It's just that there's only one of me, and there's only so much of me I can carve myself off to do, you know? That's the problem.
We're going to miss having dinner with you. We'll miss
definitely.
You.
It's always been a pleasure. That's one of my highlights when I go to Ada.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Chang. We appreciate it. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So we have late check-ins here, and I think our friend Katie Livingood wins the contest this morning because she is checking in. Now, let me get this correct. Katie is checking in at minus 21 right now, and her husband said it was minus 25 when they got up, and the wind chills, the wind's blowing 20, 30 miles an hour, so it's roughly minus 50. And Katie,
oh my goodness.
I know, Katie is in Minnesota, Dodge Center, Minnesota. So, Katie, you win. That's definitely
wow.
the coldest registered by our listeners this morning, and it makes me very happy that we're here.
She still has power. That's what it is.
Yes.
She's the coldest with power.
Exactly. Katie, why did you move there? That's just crazy. Move south. Think about something else, Katie. Get a job somewhere else. Actually, Katie has a job working at a really cool equestrian riding facility. So our best to everybody up north. We're thinking about you. We'll say a prayer for you. We hope you keep your power, and we hope you keep your horses and your dogs and your kitties and all your other animals safe in this very, very frigid weather. In another couple days, it'll be over, and temperatures are supposed to rise again. So we're saying prayers for you, all of us here in the South. And we really don't want everybody to move to Florida. It's crowded enough as it is. Everybody has now moved in that are snowbirds, and all of the horse people have moved into Ocala now. So they all got out of the north before the weather hit.
Yeah.
So traffic and restaurants are busy again.
Yeah.
This is our summer down here.
Yeah.
For busy
off,
time.
Folks.
Well, that's it. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. We're going to have a live show for you. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. Don't forget, you can download the app. Just search for HorseRadioNetwork.com in the iOS or the Android App Store. If you have an iPad, you have to go to the – what you do if you have an iPad is you have to go to the phone app store. We don't have a specific iPad app, but if you go to the phone app store, it works just fine on your iPad. So that's how you have to do that. That's it for today. Thank you so much for filling in, Jennifer. Did a good job.
Thank you. Glad I could help.
Take care. Be warm.
Bye, all.
Helmets with fish on your ears. Somebody's riding today.